From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanzano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing a lot better than you this morning. I got my tech working. I'm nice and toasty down in Florida. How are you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. You know, it might be a little cold here. I'm still okay. Whatever happens, I run with it, you know, roll with the punches, you know. So no issues on my side. We are always making it happen. And we have a very special guest today. Today's guest has worked with entrepreneurs all over the world. Maybe it's cold in Ireland. Maybe it's cold in Tennessee. He's always making it happen. And he's also going to be at our event, Multifamily Mastery 6, this October in sunny Orlando, Florida. So we're doing good, and we're happy to welcome our guest, Philip McKernan. Philip, how's it going?
I'm really good, thank you. Great to see both of you.
I don't know, man. I got a little uncertainty behind that, Gino, so we're going to have to unpack that. But Philip, we've had you on before, but for the folks that don't know, please share with us your background story and how you ultimately got started in business.
From a small village in Ireland, going to college wasn't an option, so I went into the world of sales and found my way meandering into entrepreneurship kind of more accidentally than on purpose. And I don't think there's any greater thing than having the freedom and the autonomy to kind of do what you want. Real estate played a big role in there along the way. I wrote a couple of real estate books. I'm not sure, Gino, you even know that. Bought real estate in six different countries around the world. And, fell into coaching. I was always the go-to guy for men and women of all ages. They used to come to me as a child in Ireland and kind of bare all and throw their stuff out on me. And I was able to see the world maybe a little bit differently than they could at the time, and end up coaching people in a pub in Ireland for free way back in the day, and never imagined I'd make a career out of it. And that's what I do all the time now, is I coach people all over the world. I run events, most of them in Ireland now. And maybe I'll just pause there and see what questions come.
So, Philip, we had the privilege, the honor of bringing nine Jake and Gino couples to Ireland to do one of your events. And people may be asking, what is Philip McKernan, a life coach or however
he's wants, writing real estate books, Gino.
I didn't know that. Now I like him even less now. Okay. So. and people may be saying, why is Philip coming to Multifamily Mastery 6? What does that have to do with teaching people on multifamily? And maybe, Philip, you can expand upon that answer, because you met the Jake and Gino students. It's all about education and action. And what did you learn from the community and really multifamily? And it's not just about real estate. It's not just about trying to learn about cap rates and cash on cash returns. You know,
I think a lot of people go into real estate or wealth building and they have a sense of what it is they want to achieve, but very few people actually understand what it is behind that actually is the main reason they do it, the why behind it. And essentially, I think there's some type of freedom. We do an exercise around happiness with people. It's the simplest exercise in the world. I won't give it away in case we actually do it in Orlando and it makes sense to do it in Orlando. But in the essence, in the end of the day, when you break it all down, the most important days that people have in this world all are related or contained around relationship to God, relationship to self, relationship to family, relationship to others. And I think that's something that in the pursuit of any type of wealth, any type of asset, expansion or asset building, we have a tendency to say, yeah, that's important, but we tend to lose that along the way. So I suppose what I learned from the community that we're over here is just their insatiable love, need, and importance for relationship. That without key relationships and connection in their lives, it doesn't matter how much money you have and how much money you make, you cannot buy that. So what I loved about the community was a desire to build wealth through an asset class, do good with that money, but don't forget about relationships along the way. And that's the number one thing that I was reminded of. And that's why I think they connected, and hopefully I connected with them to some extent as well.
I'm going to share a story in a little bit about a little conversation that I had with Phil. But when you talk about relationship, people think about, hey, Jake and Gina, we have a relationship. What about the relationship to yourself that we never discuss? Love thy neighbor as thyself. What about the happy wife, happy life kind of thing? Where if she's happy, then I'm happy. Let's dive into that for a minute because that's a fallacy.
You're loving that these days.
Bro, no, Philip like ripped the wound in me, and you know, I had a lot of anger. I still have anger. Didn't know that. We're gonna talk about the past, how to look into the past, but let's talk about the relationship with oneself. Because if we don't love ourselves, how are we gonna show love to others, and how are we gonna create love for others? Can we dive into that?
Yeah, but before I do that, I just, you know, I want to just kind of stop and take a second. And I feel sometimes, you know, people do these things and say these things because they feel they have to. I don't feel I have to. You guys have already agreed to have me in, so you're kind of stuck with me to some extent. Or maybe you don't want me having had spent a week in Ireland. You're definitely done now. But I want to just commend you guys that it just shows a level of care that you have for your community, that you would even bother having someone like me, forget about what I do specifically, that you would have someone like me who's not going to come in and layer in real estate. There's a lot of expertise, obviously, on this call, and I'm sure there's other speakers you have who are going to talk about the wealth piece. But I just want to just take a second to acknowledge it, because it is such a rare thing to see a community where you're helping people learn something and study something, but you actually care enough about the people to say, hey, we want to make sure that we layer in some of this personal growth, if you want to call it that as well. So I just want to commend you on that.
Philip, I want to touch on that before you carry on, because there's a Ray Dalio quote from his book Principles that talks about meaningful work and meaningful relationships. And I think it's so appropriate for this component of the conversation, because it's the why behind some of the things that we're doing. Yes, we're about creating legacy and building wealth to give ourselves autonomy and freedom, because that is a happier life for most of us. Maybe not everybody, but the folks that are here in this community, they understand that that's good for them. And that's the component of this that we're trying to extract, because to the point you made a minute ago, you can kind of get lost in this stuff, but if you don't remember why you're doing it, and that the work and the relationships is almost sometimes can be more enjoyable, that struggle, than the end result. I think the realization of that and the self-awareness will help people live a more fulfilling life. So I just wanted to bolt on to what you were saying there.
Yeah, no, cool. I love it. I guess for me, the most important relationship as it relates to my work, okay, for some, it's their most important relationship is God and will always be God. And I respect that wholeheartedly. In the context of my work, one of the most important relationships that we have an access to is the relationship we have with ourselves. But most people have no reference for that. They go, what are you talking about? Like, I can see why building a relationship with my kids is important, building a relationship with my wife, my husband, my partner, whatever, building and continuing to deepen a relationship with a higher power. But like, what do you mean a relationship with myself? Like, but if I have a degree of disdain or dislike or distrust for myself, how's that going to play out in every decision that I make and every indecision that I make in my life? And it's a very personal journey for me. You know, I did not like who I was for a very long time. And I was looking under every rock, behind every boulder. I was looking behind every bush, trying to find an answer, trying to look into spiritual practices. And everything I did, no matter what I did, it wasn't enough, because I wasn't enough. And finally, I decided to turn the mirror, turn the spotlight back on myself, and I did not like what I saw. I stood outside the very first therapy session that I ever went to. I stood outside. Actually, can I tell you the story very, very quickly? I remember going into a therapy session. If this is okay, I think you guys will appreciate this. First time I went to a therapy session, I was too cool for therapy. I didn't need it. So how I positioned it in my head was, I was going to kind of check it out just to see what it was all about. Like, I was that disconnected. I was that insecure. I had that much of an ego that I was unprepared to go for therapy just for me. And I go into this guy's, it was a little house in Dublin, and I go in, there's two chairs at right angles, and there's a box of Kleenex beside one, and the other one had no Kleenex. And he says, I'll grab a cup of tea, take a seat. And I sat in the seat across from the Kleenex, and I'm looking at the Kleenex. It was like a coffee table. It was that big. And I'm thinking, he must have a really bad cold. I mean, that is just how naive or stupid I was, right? And that's why Gino loves this story, I can tell, because it makes me look bad. He comes into the room with the two cups of tea, and he stops and he goes, Philip, that's my seat. And I got up all embarrassed, slightly ashamed. I sat down and I did one of these and I'm looking at the Kleenex and it honestly felt like a coffee table. It was so high. It was like a triple decker. He must have got it in a wholesale shop or something. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to make me cry. Like, that's like, do you know who you're dealing with here? Like, this is just like, never. He looks at me and he says, Jake, he goes, so tell me about yourself. And I think in about 45 seconds, I went from absolute rage to bawling my eyes off, to laughing at the irony of it all, to getting angry at myself, whatever. And then he looks at his watch and it felt like 10 minutes had passed. And he goes, so that's our hour done. And I went, I won't even tell you what I said because I don't want to curse on your show. I just went, the F it is, I'm only getting started. And I stood outside his house, and I'll finish here. And that, and I'm sorry about the graphic nature of this, but I leaned across and I put my hands on the top of my thighs and I leaned over and I was afraid to vomit because I felt if I vomited, I wouldn't be able to stop. And I realized that was the day my life started to change. I had so much discomfort and resentment and anger and sadness and joy, but it was all buried together at the same, in the same pot. And when I started to work through that, I realized, you know what, McKernan, you're actually a cool kid. You were a cool kid. You are a cool kid and you'll be a good kid. And as I started to see that, I started to give myself permission to do better and nicer things in the world.
When we were in Ireland, we were on a hike. I mean, this is not like a 2 mile hike, Jake. It's like 9 miles. I mean, up into this like mountain and going down, like you're walking down this ravine. You feel like you're going to die.
Were you threatening anybody? Cause I've been on some long bike rides with you before and you start bitching and that, I don't know, like, did it go okay or what?
It went great. But couple that with silence. Silence is very uncomfortable. And then Philip comes to me and I actually say, I want to share two stories. The first one is I say to Philip, man, where were you 10 years ago? I really needed you 10 years ago. And he's like, I'm here now. And I realized the relationship with myself 10 years ago isn't where it is now. And I probably must have, I don't want to use the word hate, but I probably dislike myself. And you have these emotions pushed down. And all of a sudden you have this anger well up inside you. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? And I don't think a lot of us reflect upon our past and reflect upon the I don't want to say trauma, but Philip used the word trauma. And there's a lot of trauma. And it doesn't have to be and huge in nature, but we're going to get into what our parents have done to us and how we're screwing up our kids. And we get down the hike, we go play Gaelic soccer. That's another amazing event where emotions start flowing out because most of us, especially men, we keep those emotions, you know, tangled up and bottled down. We go to a Lachlan's bar. We're starting to pour Guinnesses at a Lachlan's. Guinness in Ireland is phenomenal. Right next to the bar, there's a little field out there. And as I go out to the field, we're getting pizzas and there's a cow. I'm looking at this cow in the field and I'm just collecting my thoughts. And here comes Phil walking over and I'm like, damn, please don't talk to me because I won't be able to hold it together. And he starts talking to me and he starts asking me a question and he goes, how you doing? I'm like, I'm great. He said, no, really, how you doing? And I just started opening up and it was tough because these relationships that you have, you think you have the moral superiority. You are part of the problem in every relationship. Maybe you can't fix it, but you have to at least accept responsibility for those relationships. And I had not understood the anger that I had and the emotions that I had. And I wanted to be right. And maybe I am right, but being right doesn't mean anything. I'm trying to repair these relationships. And I don't want to say experience those emotions, but at that kind of level. And I'm looking at the cow and I'm like, I see the cow looking at me and I can almost say to myself that this cow is like, well, what'd you expect? You're talking to Phil fucking McKernan. Of course that's going to happen to you. I'm like, cow, why didn't you tell me to walk away from Phil? But for me, it was an amazing moment because what Phil tells you is to sit with the emotion. We want to fix that emotion. And I never really have time to sit with those emotions sometimes. And the Jake and Gino community, it's education times action. Sometimes it's just education or emotion and just let it sit and have these emotions. And maybe I can't fix that relationship, but knowing that I'm at fault for a lot of it, knowing that I had anger issues and I'm not an angry person, but I have issues of anger in certain relationships and that got back, didn't get on the phone right away and call these people up and say, hey, let's fix it. I didn't want to blame anybody. And just letting that sit and letting that marinate really was helpful for me. So I don't know if you remember that specific moment, but it was, for me, it was a very special moment. So I just want to thank you for that.
I do remember, and I appreciate you sharing that. I want to just layer in an example of why it's important, because I think action is so key. And I don't want to, and I know you're not trying to kind of almost like knock the action piece, particularly when it comes to the education piece, because as we all know, there's so many people who have all the education in the world, and the missing link for them is the action. But sometimes the absence of action is a lack of belief in self, or it's a fear that people haven't overcome, or it's a belief that they don't deserve the wealth that's available to them with the teachings that you guys teach. So there's all this psychology around money. I mean, geez, I could do a whole workshop on just how do we feel around money? But I'm going to give you one quick example. We had a guy in Ireland, and he came to Ireland about 7-8 years ago. COVID seems to throw everything out for me, but in terms of timing. And he was 60 years old, and he decided for his 60th birthday, he was going to go to this event called Brave Soul. And he came to Ireland, and he had this very buttoned down story about his childhood, that it was safe. Now, we don't go into childhood in every event. There's one event that we go into your background to understand who you are, so you can understand who you've become, and therefore who you are going to be, regardless of whether you're aware of that or not. And he went by, he says, Philip, it just seems like I have this really happy childhood. And people are kind of making little comments, going, oh, here's Mr. Happy. And he goes, you know, I keep digging, looking for shit. There's just nothing there. And we're in O'Loughlin's bar, and he said to me, but Philip, what am I missing? And I said, maybe you're missing nothing. Maybe you had a brilliant childhood. It's not about finding shit for the sake of it. And I said, but let me just offer you one thing for you to sit with in the next, you know, 24 hours. He goes, what if the story you're holding on to and you're telling is just not exactly true? That you have a one-sided perspective of it, and you're holding on to that, and you're afraid to challenge it. I said, just sit with that. Literally, I said that to him. The following morning, he comes in, he puts his hand up, and he says, can I speak? I said, of course. And he says, all week, I've been telling you how happy my childhood was, how much freedom I had. And I have a funny feeling we're going to circle around to this idea of freedom, you know, as we get through this call. But I had all this freedom. I cycled around my bike. He said, it's bullshit. Actually, I was on my own, not because I was free. I was on my own because I was lonely. And he said, I'm really sad, and therefore I'm really angry about that. And he said, what's worse is I now see how I've created an island as an adult, because if no one's on the island, they can't hurt me, and so on and so forth. That is the power. Because if he said, okay, I feel a bit of sadness, what do I do? Where's the 4 steps to get rid of sadness? He wouldn't have understood where the sadness came from, where the anger manifested itself from, and therefore how he shows up today in his life. And he says, I literally have created an island. I have an open door policy in my business, but the bottom line is it's not true. No one can walk through the door unless they validate that I'm right. And if they don't, and they're not going to, they don't feel safe. And that's why people stay away from me. So that's just a little illustration of why sitting with emotion is actually more important than we think, rather than trying to, you know, put it in a box, solve it, or move through it too fast.
I think this next question is going to be powerful for the listener, because for us at the workshop, we went back to our past, then we went to the present, and then we looked towards our future self. Phil, why is it important to go back into your childhood, into your past, and explore what happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the holy grail of personal growth. I think it's the area that yields probably the greatest amount of gold. And it's the area that you'll understand yourself probably more than anywhere in the world, anywhere else. We have a tendency to either oscillate between wanting to live in the now, which a lot of us struggle with. And one of the reasons is because we're trying to push through the now into the future. The reason for that is we're uncomfortable. We have a sense of uncomfortableness. If you struggle being with yourself. So for example, here's a little stress test. How many days of the week, how many hours of the week, how many minutes of the week do you sit in stillness with yourself? Not meditating, just stillness. Even sitting in a car with that music on your own. Many people would answer that going, oh God, I don't do that. And because they haven't thought about it, or because they're actually trying to create a busyness so they don't have to be with themselves. So they don't have to be with themselves. There's something within themselves or contained within their past that they're moving away from, where we have a moving away from energy around that. Hence the reason why we don't want to be in relationship and sit in stillness with ourselves. But when you go back into your past, I have a saying that the past has created the present. What I mean by that is everything you've done, everything you haven't done, every conversation you've had, every interaction, good, bad, or indifferent, every school, every societal shift, every age, every the first kiss, the last kiss, the no kiss, whatever. The past has created the present, and the present is creating the future. So who you are today, and therefore who you are going to be in the future, the script is already written in the past. A lot of us on paper have goals around achieving $1 million, $10 million, $100 million. But yet we go out into the world and act as if we want to be in debt to $10 million. And yet we can't understand why we do that. But it's on my vision board. I want, you know, 20 units by in each building by 100, you know, units, or 100, you know, multifamily buildings across, you know, Florida, whatever it is. But I keep going out and screwing it all up. Why do I do that? Well, you haven't perhaps stopped and examined your relationship to money. You examined your relationship to poverty, to wealth. You might have a really angry dad who was really wealthy. And you in your head have just made one simple calculation. Oh, he was a dickhead because he was wealthy. That's it. And it's a story that you don't even know you have. And therefore, you how you act in the world goes against your principles, goes against your goals, goes against what you've told your community you're going to do, your partner what you're going to do. And you might have this story that you are not super conscious of. But if I become wealthy, therefore I'm more like my dad. Therefore I'm going to do what my dad did. Therefore I'm going to be like my dad. I'll just simplify this. I just won't make money. Don't buy a family unit or a multifamily unit, a single apartment, a townhouse, whatever it is. Therefore, I just cut it off of the head. That's an example of a story or a belief that you have inside of you that is playing out, that's already showing up, that you cannot access on your own, in my experience. That's just one little example.
So then how would you tell the listeners to access that? I mean, I did. I went to Ireland and I actually went to life coaching school. So life coaching school really helped me out as far as asking myself those questions. But my problem with life coaching school, and you're a life coach, you look at the past a little bit, but they don't tend to stay in the past, because if you dwell on the past, they move towards the future. I don't think us as life coaches spend enough time in the past, because we're afraid if we get stuck there, then we won't take action. So how would you access that? If you're just listening to this, how do I sit down and think and really try to access my childhood? Because you said something very interesting in Ireland. Your parents screwed you up and you're going to screw your kids up. It's inevitable. So how do we deal with being screwed up and having to screw up our kids? How do we access that?
Yeah, I need to speak into that very quickly, if I may, because if we leave it just there, it can be out of context. It can yes. sound defeatist, and it can, you know, as like we're just going to give up on our kids.
Yes.
What I mean by that is the greatest parenting advice I believe there is in the world is, no matter what you do as a parent, you're going to screw your kids up. Hug them too much, they're going to need therapy. Never hug them, they're going to need therapy. What I mean by that is, let go of trying to be perfect, but never give up on them. You always strive to be a better human, a better man, a better woman, and therefore create the best environment for your kids. I believe we should not live our life through our kids or for our kids. I think we should go out there and live the best goddamn life we can possibly live as an individual and as a collective couple if we're in a relationship. And our kids, the byproduct of our kids witnessing that energy, gives them the inspiration and the motivation potentially to go and do that for themselves. And going back to the actual question, how do you access aspects of your past in order to understand who you are and build awareness and to see how your past has shaped who you are today? I think on a very, very basic level, journaling can be very effective. I don't journal a lot. Asking yourself really, really great questions. So let's just say, for example, there's something that is just not working out for you right now. Why do I always screw up relationships? Why do I not bring as much wealth into my life than the other three guys I sat and girls I sat beside the last conference? Like, what is that about? So rather than the judgmental curiosity, why am I not as good as them? Just go, what is it about me? Do I really want to be wealthy? Ask the question, write the question and answer it. Well, of course I do, you dumbass. Again, there's the judgment. It's only simple, but it's more judgment. Without the judgment, because if there's judgment present, there is no growth. So there's a big difference between judgment and curiosity. And ask yourself these questions. You know, what did my parents demonstrate for me? We're not trying to vilify your parents. What did they demonstrate for me around wealth? What did they demonstrate for me around money? What did they demonstrate for me around parenting? What did they demonstrate by just who they are, not what they said, by just who they are? we often have these stories that my parents never said money's evil. Yeah, but forget about what they said or didn't say. What did they do? Well, they never talked about money. Ah, so it was kind of secretive. A little bit of energy, a little bit of shame or guilt around it. Yeah, there is. So again, how does that show up for you? So just be inquisitive. I do believe wholeheartedly, not because I'm here to promote my work, I think a great question is only as good as the container that the question is asked. So I could ask somebody to answer a question on a tube in London, an airplane in Seattle, and on a boat in going down the Nile. And you ask the same question when you're ready and you're in an environment where someone gets to support and challenge the question and the answer you give. So I do believe seeking external help is important around understanding and accessing your past. And the journaling, the next level from that to me is therapy. Everyone, I think, should go out there and book 6 therapy sessions in a row, once a week, once a month, whatever it is, for 6 sessions, just to see. And the worst case scenario, you come out of that last therapy session, go, I learned nothing. That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is you go, wow, I've uncovered a few things I was unaware of. And to me, that's a huge win.
Well, people may come out of it saying, oh, I'm a real asshole. I don't want to learn that I'm a real asshole. So that may be why they don't want to go into therapy. Like, I'm really that dick. Maybe I shouldn't do the therapy. All joking aside, I think you're 100% correct, because it may be scary to learn about yourself. And it's just maybe a place for growth. If you learn that you're that person, you don't have to be that person.
You don't have to be that person. But here's the thing. We have this idea in our heads that being an asshole or being a dick is self-contained to just us. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're somebody that does not leave the four walls of your house, that never gets on a Zoom call, that never texts, that never contacts anybody, you know, have at it. Good luck. If you don't want to find out that you're an asshole, you don't want to do anything about it, that's fine. But if you relate to any other human being, if you are in relationship to any other human being, particularly children, because they're so vulnerable, men, women, whatever, I believe, and a lot of people don't like this statement, but I really don't care, I believe you have a moral obligation to work on your stuff so you don't keep passing it on to the next generation. I really believe that, because you cannot park your car in the driveway, walk into your home and leave your office and leave your work in the car or in the driveway. Nor can you leave your home and get in your car and go to your office and leave your home life at home. It doesn't work. When I work with athletes and I work with soccer players at a pretty high, well, extremely high level, the big thing I do is everything off the ice, everything off the pitch, everything you do off that pitch is my business. And how that affects their ability to show up in the world and on the pitch and score and play well and perform and to win medals and win trophies is astounding. And yet we still tell ourselves this narrative. Yeah, but even if I have some dark stuff in my past and some stuff that hurt me and I've had some trauma, intuitively I know it's there. But it doesn't harm anybody if I don't go and access it. Well, that's bullshit. That's actually untrue, because it does. And the last thing I'll say on this is one last thing, Gino, I think is really important, if you don't mind, is the great test for this is, would we want our kids to do the same thing? Hey, daddy. Hey, mom. Something happened to me. Suck it up. Don't talk about it. Don't get therapy. Never go there. Be like me. You'd probably say, hey, honey, sit down. Tell me. What can I do? But you're a hypocrite if you haven't done it for yourself. It doesn't mean you can't do it, but you're a hypocrite if you haven't done it for yourself. And when you can do that for yourself, and when you can allow your family to see, hey, dad's not perfect. Hey, mom's angry. Mom's sad. You allow them to see the humanness in you. And therefore, they will allow you to see the humanness in them if and when they're sad. If you play the high moral ground, if you play the stiff upper lip, if you play the strong kid, they're going to feel that's normal. And they're going to bottle it all up exactly like you did. That's what we do as humans.
In Ireland, you shared a story with us about a soccer player and self-sabotage. I don't know if you remember it. If you don't, I can tell the story, but you tell it much better. Because this is very important, because people out there who may think it's either time or it's money. It's not time and it's not money. And I think this story highlights sometimes we may be self-sabotaging ourselves and we don't even know it's so deep in our psyche. Can you share that story? Because it was so powerful for me. I remember, like, you were sitting in front of the fireplace with those U-logs going. It's nice and warm in there. I got a cup of coffee and I'm listening to this story and I'm saying to myself, that's not possible. How could really? And then it's like, wow, you look back and you go, I've done that in my life before.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll share that story. Jake was asking a question earlier on, is when you were doing one of the hikes, you know, was he bitching during the hike? Because you, I think he said he bitched through some
ride. Yeah, we've taken him up hills before. He starts like trying to fire people. I'm like, dude, chill out and just get your ass up the hill, pal.
Yeah, all Phil, right? First of all, we're going
but
up
you
this
know what?
90.
He started... He started bitching before we even got off the bus to start the walk. And then he bitched after the walk. I think he's still bitching about it. But anyway, I digress. I love it. I love it. The story, it's such a beautiful story. I'm working with this young man, and he's a great player. Like, he's a very, very good player. He has avoided me. He's avoided me for about a year and a half. I've been working with this team, and he's avoided me and avoided me and avoided me. Can't even look.
It sounds like Jake right now. Now you're talking Jake right now, okay?
He's his name was Jake, but I mean, he wore this green t-shirt and whatever. No, and he was lovely, and it was so funny. And I was the little paranoid piece of me, and there is always a paranoid piece of me. Said, "Geez, I just don't think he likes me." And long story short, I didn't share this piece in Ireland. How he actually came to work with me was he reached out to the club because his wife was struggling, having, you know, moved from England to the United States. She was struggling after having a child and the isolation. And the club rang me and said, can you recommend somebody? And I said, well, would she be willing to talk to me? Long story short, I talked to her, gave her an option to work with me. She said, yes. We worked together for 2 or 3 months. And on our last call together, she says, my husband wants to work with you. And the reason he wanted to work with me is simply what he saw in her, the shift in her. That was it. And I said, yeah, but I realized you did the work. I always try to push all the work back on the clients to make sure they own it. So I get onto this young man and I said, what can I do for you? Because I want to become a better player. And I said, well, so does everybody in the world. And I can be a real asshole to make a point. And he says, yeah, but I believe I'm leaving so much of it on the ice. Like, I'm just not... Like, I, you know, I'm leaving so much of it off the ice. I'm not showing up. I'm not performing. I said, what do you need to do? He said, I need to score 5 goals more a season. A player in my position, that would mean that I'd be really at a decent level. So great. So, you know, it's precisely what it is you need to do. What are you doing, or what can you do to go out and achieve that? And he goes, well, I suppose I could practice my shots on goal on a very basic level. I said, cool. Have you been doing that? And he goes, well, kind of, not really. And I said, this, of course, is all assuming that you want to be a better player. And he goes, excuse me? I said, it's assuming you actually, what you're saying is actually true, that you actually want to be a better player. He goes, are you implying I don't? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not feeling it. I said, I hear the words, but I don't feel the conviction. I said, tell me about your life. And he's ripping, like he wants to rip my head off. He's pissed now. And I goes, tell me a bit about your life. And he goes, well, I grew up in England, you know, older brother. And I said, was he a soccer player? He goes, whoa. He said, he was. He said, you think I'm good? He was twice the player I am. I said, interesting. How old is he? He said, about 3 or 4 years older than him. So what does he do now? He's a mechanic. Nothing wrong being a mechanic. Except when you're massively gifted and you choose to walk away. And I said, so what happened? Think an injury, perhaps. He said he walked away from the game. I said, why? He says, yeah, he didn't really like it anymore. He lost his love for the game. So I looked at this young man in front of me and I said, so are you ready to tell the truth about that story? He goes, what do you mean? I said, why did he walk away? He put his head down and he said, because my parents couldn't afford to drive the two of us all over England to tournaments and games. He stepped aside and he gave up football to give me a chance.
Holy shit.
And he said, and I never, ever, ever, ever have admitted that until this moment. I said, when you drive to your home city in England with your nice car, do you park it around the corner and make sure no one sees it? Do you drive it up to the front door and almost drive it through the front door and beep the horn so everybody knows exactly that you've arrived and what you're driving, your success? Or do you just casually park it outside, walk up and own who you are? He goes, I park it around the corner and sometimes I just get an Uber to the house. I don't want anyone to know. I said, you see why you do that? He goes, yeah, I don't want to be successful. I don't want to rub it in my brother's face. Jake, I promise you with every bone in my body, that is verbatim what he said to me. I might have missed a couple of nuances. And that is not an untypical story. both ways. I know some men and women that have made and built entire empires, not because they have a vision that is crystal clear, but because they want to prove somebody wrong. And I have other people who will not allow themselves to build an empire because they don't want to show somebody else out or call somebody else out. And neither is authentic. And here's what happened. He went out and had the best season of his life the following year. And I'm not joking. The best season of his life. And yes, we did some additional work. Absolutely. That one realization alone, I could have put the mic down and said, right, we're done. He didn't have to go and shoot in front of goal. He just had to give himself deep emotional permission to go and be the man, be the human, be the player, be the inspiration, be the father that he could be. That was it. There was nothing else to be done for him. It can be that. Breakthroughs can be that quick. So if I had to describe what I do, and I don't like the term life coach because it's just so overdone, but again, I don't get offended by it. I go really deep. And I used to apologize about that or kind of say, you know, well, Gino, it's kind of deep, Jake. Yeah, we kind of go a little deeper. We go super deep because the deeper you go, the higher you fly. If someone wants to just have surface conversations, that's not me. Because I want results. I want to go in. I want to go super deep. I want to find out something or not. Come back out and say, right.
That was actually a question that I had for you later on. And I've heard these affirmations from people. I have permission to succeed. I'm not afraid of success. And I always found them very interesting, but I was trying to understand the why behind that. And that story really nails it. It's going to be different for every person, clearly, but I've never heard anything articulated like that as to why people may need that affirmation to, you know, say it's okay to be successful or it's okay to do the work that's going to take to get there. That was really eye-opening to me. I really appreciate that, Phil.
So, yeah, no, absolutely, Jay. But can you just give me one of the affirmations? Just repeat it, the examples you gave us. If you could just give me one
of
those again,
please. I've heard I have permission to succeed and I'm not afraid of success.
Okay, I have permission to succeed. Let's just say that it's an isolated affirmation.
Yeah.
Let's imagine for a second that the same soccer player that I worked with went to somebody else, or even went to me. It doesn't matter. It's not about comparing me to other people and saying, I'm the only one that could have done this. I'm sure I'm not. But he went to someone and said, oh, yeah, maybe you're just afraid of success, or maybe you're whatever. Why don't you just try this affirmation? And they give it to them on a scroll, or they give it to them on a piece of paper, or they give it to them in a little WhatsApp message, and they just have to repeat that themselves. Here's my experience of that. My experience of that is it's like telling yourself in front of a mirror that you're not overweight or underweight. And you can tell yourself that a million times, and you can almost trick your brain into believing. But it doesn't get to the root cause of why you have that belief or why you need that affirmation to begin with. And I would respectfully say, it's not saying it's useless, there's no purpose, and it's not helpful. But it's kind of an exhausting sense of trickery that's required.
It's a Band-Aid. It's a psychological Lipitor versus treating the cholesterol, right?
Yes. Yes. I want to know, why do you think you're fat? I want to know why you eat the way you do. I want to get into the psychology of it so we can begin to unravel that. And you layer an affirmation on top of that, I think it can be very useful. But I think...
No, I just, for some reason, those, you know, I've read different, obviously, a ton of different books and seen the affirmations. And those ones always kind of stood out to me, and it's just interesting how you were able to actually articulate that and explain it. So very cool.
Now the Jake and Gino community knows that Jake doesn't read books. So he may listen to books, but he doesn't read books. So let's clarify that, Mr. Stenziano. Okay. Last question.
I really haven't probably got through a full book physically reading it, but I've done a shit ton through Audible. So you know what, Gino, check the box, and the absorption level is much higher because that's the way I learned. So whatever. You know, why don't you just try to ride a bike up a hill, pal? All right?
Bro, the psychological Lipitor. That's all I got to say. Go take some psychological Lipitor, okay? You got to go deep. Anyway, last question before we go to the short answers, because I think this is important. The word judgment came up. How does judgment hurt you and others? And why is it so impactful on one's life?
Yeah, I mean, it's decimating. I mean, it's... I always listen to how people talk about themselves. And sometimes it's funny. I mean, the Irish are probably the best in the world at knocking ourselves and making fun of ourselves. And like, we're unbelievable. Like, we're just masters at that piece. I just feel that when there's a lot of judgment present, it's a representation of how we hold ourselves in the world. And I guess what's coming up for me straight away is one of the most important quotes that I stand by, that I spoke at one day, and it just seemed to land, is we, in the end of the day, we give ourselves what we feel we deserve. We give ourselves what we feel we deserve. And if we have a body that's not functioning and that we're not looking after, in some weird way, that's what we feel we deserve. Our bank balance, the same thing. Our relationships, the same thing. So our life is an extension of a barometer of judgment or self-love or self-caring that we have inside of ourselves. And it's very, very subtle. And I'll sometimes watch people and at events, and sometimes I'll just stop the whole show and I'll go, right, stop. I'm not sitting here for the next week and listening to this bullshit. I'm not doing it. And I said, here's my ask. I said, you don't even know how you're speaking to yourself. And I'll repeat back and they go, God, really, did I say that? And then some people go, oh, but I'm just joking. You know, you say something wrong, you say, oh God, you're such a piece of shit, you're such a dumbass. And they sound so obscure and so insignificant. I'm a piece of shit, I'm a dumbass. And you've been saying it for so long. The vibrations of that energetically have been moving through your entire body, your entire psyche, your entire unit for so long. And what ends up happening is they're just literally language, because language is just a form of energy. An expression of how you actually feel about yourself. Say, are you a piece of shit? No, I'm not. I'm a great guy. I mean, I give to charity, give to whatever. Are you a piece of shit? Well, I mean, I've done some shit. Are you a piece of shit? Yeah. And that's where most of it comes back. It comes back to an aspect of truth. And that's why being aware of how we judge ourselves, where the judgment comes from, beginning to shift that narrative. And I remember one day saying to a group, and I'll finish here, is I said, guys, I just want you to be 2% nicer to yourself for the rest of the week. Not 50, not 85, 2% nicer. I said, because I can't stand being in a room with people who just berate themselves all the time the way you do. And it was tears rolling down my face, not the audience, my face, because it was affecting me so much because I've judged myself so much of my life. And most people in the room started to tear up because they realized in that moment there was such sincerity and truth in what I was saying. And we just spent the rest of the week being 2% nicer to ourselves. And the impact that had was unreal. Self-talk is really powerful.
Philip, very poignant, and
very toxic.
I got to be completely transparent. I'm a little confused right now because you're in this space. Are you saying you're hanging out with people at events that are saying these things to themselves? Or like subconsciously saying, I'm honestly a little confused right now.
Yeah, sorry if it's not clear. So they might just, it's just a little subtle comments. So it's just surface stuff like, oh, I'm a dumbass or I'm a whatever.
People just
like,
say just this stuff in passing just to themselves. Like, yeah.
Yeah, in passing. They're just little nuances or little comments or whatever. But often it's a representation of actually how we feel about ourselves inside.
Wow, okay.
They're not just little nuances. They're not just little tidbits. They're not just little funny
stuff
nuances.
Coming to the surface where there's actually some meat to it. Ooh.
Absolutely. Correct.
Wow. No, that's helpful because I was hearing you but not understanding you, so I appreciate you clarifying that.
Yeah, apologies.
No, that's on this end.
Thank you for clarifying.
I'm being a dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah! Oh!
Nope. But Jake, that's the challenge. Gino, having spent a week in Ireland, it's like sitting, the first time I was at a real estate conference many, many years ago, somebody said, oh, ROI is this. And I'm looking around going, ROI. Do I ask somebody? Do I put my hand up? I didn't want to look silly or stupid in front of everybody. So we have a tendency, you know, now that Gino's been in Ireland, I can even sense from him, he's asking questions as if, you know, he was in the room. So we get it. So if it's not clear, I take responsibility and apologize about that.
I've taken responsibility. All right, gang. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Jake and Gino's Multifamily Mastery 6 is coming to the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, Florida this October 14th and 15th. Join Jake and Gino as they welcome special guests like Chris Voss, Luke Wren, David Green, and many more. Discover Jake and Gino's three-step framework for real estate success, enabling students to accumulate $4 billion in assets. MM6 is the multifamily event of 2023 that you do not want to miss. Go to jakeandgino.com/MM6 to reserve your tickets today.
All right, we are back. Had some notes here and just want to get your perspective on how fitness can be tied into self-care or how you use it in your practice. Personally, myself, I really enjoy fitness. I know many folks on the show and just want to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, I went from a guy who told myself I needed to put my sneakers, my runners in my bag when I go traveling to putting the runners and the sneakers were the first thing into my bag. And how did that happen? That to me was beginning to put a value on my own skin and putting a value on who I am as a person and therefore putting a value on my body. So to me, fitness is absolutely critical. I do know, and I'm not joking, I'm being really serious. I know a lot of people who use fitness as a way to mask emotional challenges, that there's almost an addictive nature to fitness. And I don't think that's super healthy. Physically on
like
the surface.
Like replace alcoholism with fitness or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Arguably it's a healthier option for sure. I don't think anyone could argue that. At the same time, have they actually dealt with the stuff? So I'm not sure if there's a specific question other than looking after ourselves, moving our bodies, being physically fit. I mean, to me, it's absolutely a cornerstone. It's one of the most important things. I work out when I'm not running events because I find I get depleted emotionally and physically at the same time. It's just too much for me. I'm working out probably 5 times a week. Like, I'm a thin guy. I'm not trying to be ripped and big muscles, but 5 times a week, 4 to 5 minimum is what I'm working out any given week. And I've been doing that for years.
No, I didn't. Years and years. Nothing super specific. I didn't know if as part of the work was if fitness was tied into it for you or if it's just it creates a general state of well-being, in your opinion. I didn't know if it was tied into anything specifically that you use or you just think it's a good idea. That's all I was kind of going with.
We had a lady last week, Jake, in town, who the last time she was here was carrying a lot more weight. She lost 65 pounds in weight. And she cites that's
a lot.
But we have a lot of clients, a huge amount of clients who have lost significant weight. In some cases, having done nothing different other than shed emotion and shed trauma that they've been carrying for a very, very long time. Others leave our events and decide they're actually going to hike, they're going to walk, they're going to bike, they're going to whatever, and they're going to do it. But there's a different energy. It moves from a place of, oh shit, I got to go to the gym. I really should be moving. I want this for me. I want to be around for my kids. I want to be around for my grandkids. And there's a shift in value proposition towards their body and themselves.
Who knows if there's like a toxicity and inflammation that, you know, the weight that they were previously carrying to a different emotional state that allows their body to function better. And not to be sexist, but for a female
Absolutely.
Too, you know, to lose 65 pounds. And I feel like at times it's easier for guys, you know, with their genetics. That's incredible. That's fantastic work there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a big number. We haven't had that before, but that's she literally huge. Was here last week.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm at home or I'm in the car listening to this and saying, I've done a lot of self-care. I work out, I meditate, I've done the things that I've read, but I've never kind of gone to the level that Phil is suggesting. You alluded to it a little bit before, but where is a solid first place for folks to take the next step into the direction that you're proposing?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I mean, obviously, you know, you can have a look at what we do, and I would just go online and just look at a couple of videos and stuff like that. There's a lot of content out there that I've produced myself. I think the very first step, and maybe I'm pushing people away from my work, but I think the very first step for people should be go to therapy, regardless of whether you think you need therapy. You know, the best time to invest in yourself is when things are going well. You know, it's not waiting for the wheels to fall off. It's at that point, it's not too late. It's just later in the process. Invest in yourself now and just be curious and trust yourself. I mean, there's so many of my clients that come to me at the beginning and they'll say, oh no, I trust myself, but they don't know what trusting self is. So trust yourself. If you have a sense that there's something underlying that you have not addressed, something in your life that you've not put your finger on, I would implore you and encourage you to lean into that. And this is one thing I want to get across very quickly, because I think this fits right in. People go, oh, this work is hard. It's hard doing the deep work. It's hard going into your path. No, it's not. What's hard is living with the thing that you have not uncovered or unwilling to see in yourself for the rest of your life. It's hard for you and it's hard for everybody else. So I would do some journaling at the very basics. I would go to therapy, and maybe someday you'd want to check out some of our work. And there's some books out there, whether it's my books or whatever.
Jake, I would just tell the listeners.
That's coming up. Hold on. Give me this one second. And I'm gonna you know, take the gloves off here for a second. I'm gonna open myself up to a fucking punch in the face. But here it goes. So you've let me off the hook. You haven't come at me, Phil. But I will say this. I think the artist in you, and the view on your work is holding you back, because you're like, I'm not here, I'm not gonna promote my stuff. You have very, very good stuff, and I think that if I'm turning it on you right now, and that comment and that artist view there, you have great stuff, and there should be no shame in saying, I've helped a ton of people. Come on over and give me a call if you want to take the next step. And I'm putting it back on you, my friend, because I think there should be no shame there, and you're absolutely crushing it. So that's
two hands up. And I accept that wholeheartedly, and I can give you all the reasons why. And I just, out of respect for you guys, I didn't want to become across as promoting. And
you're disrespecting us by not promoting. Okay.
I appreciate that. I will leave it at this. We do really special work with really special people. And if we have a chance to work with either of you guys or any more of your community, not just where we pour our hearts and souls into it every time, but if you meet us 50% of the way, if you lean in 50% of the way, you will get results from us that sometimes will elude you for the rest of your life if you don't. So, I really appreciate you pushing back, Jake, and thank you for doing
highlight
that.
Highlight of my day, you just warmed my soul. Thank you. Gino, yeah, let's
thank you.
Jake, I was just going to say, skip Starbucks and go buy one last talk. I mean, it's $20. Starbucks is probably $40 now. It's such a joke. Sucks anyway. Go buy one last talk. Phil's book. I mean, when you come to the event, he gave us a copy for all the attendees. So you don't wait to get it. Go buy it, because I did the book. I read it, and I did the exercise in there. We all have that one last talk inside of us, and that'll help you with the discovery of your trauma, of, you know, what is the purpose of pain, to find and unlock that gift. Don't be afraid of the pain, because once you find that pain and once you start reading the book, it's like, wow, what is one last talk? You may even start a business. You may even help others and impact others by that talk. And just go online on Amazon, One Last Talk, buy the book.
Thank you.
Phil, the main hub for everything?
PhilipMcKernan.com.
Okay, PhilipMcKernan.com. And Gino, do you have more in you? I know you're the master rapper here at the end. I feel like a high emotional state from you today. I just want to make sure you're prepared to do this.
Well, what you did at the end was very nice. You got McKernan back. It's really hard to get that prick back sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
dude, he opened the door and I jumped through.
he's always nailing us. But you know, he forgot to mention what he really does. And Philip McKernan is the clarity coach. He's the one who's going to get you off of the psychological Lipitor, maybe psychological Viagra, Jake. You don't need that stuff with Philip McKernan. You go out there. I would go to the website, honestly, and book a couple of calls with Philip. And it's hard work. But like Philip said, you want to leave the rest of your life saying what could have been. And these aren't things that when I look at my journey over the last 10 years, I didn't like myself 10 years ago. And I've started to like myself more, and that affects my relationship with my children. It affects the relationship with my wife, and more importantly, affects the relationship with God and with myself. And if I can't get that right, who cares how many fucking units I have? It doesn't mean anything. I'm not enjoying those units. I've just started enjoying my life over the last several years because of meeting Phil, because of reading his book, because of doing the work and understanding that it's okay to look into your past, see what happened in your past, accept it. Don't be angry about living a life that years ago may not have seemed the life that you wanted to live years ago. Just accept it. Try to look into it. See why you're doing things what you're doing and get work. And if it's not therapy, at least start out by reading Phil's books, go onto Phil's websites, and come to Multifamily Mastery 6. It's not all about buying real estate. Why are you buying real estate? Why do you want to create the empire? Are you running away from something? Or are you running towards something? That's really important to know. And I think if you're running towards something, you're going to lead a more impactful life for yourself, and you're going to be much more empowered to do it. And you're going to impact many more lives when you do that. So Phil, it was an honor to come to Ireland. It's been an honor to have you as a friend, as a mentor, and as somebody who's going to come and speak at MM6. And I think you're going to bring a tremendous amount of value. So I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And Jake, I'm happy you pushed back. I have no problem with that at all. And I respect that. So thank you so much, guys, to both of you. And we'll see you soon.
I was a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie. But gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.